Stay tuned to WEAC Radio, Washington, D.C.'s only independent radio station. Catch us online at WEACradio.com.
Where else will you get the most current information on game changers,
design thinkers, and well-known innovators?
In-depth interviews from visionaries, trendsetters, from science to food to entertainment.
On the Behind the Mind radio show.
WEAC Radio, 1480 AM, 11 AM to 12 PM, every Friday. Join me, your host, Karen Baker.
And me, Anthony Leonard.
We'll talk about design, innovation, and culture.
Think different about design. Behind the Mind radio show.
WEAC Radio. Behind the mind, we want to hear from people that find the time to think and create these fine designs and then turn them into real product lines. So call us up, Behind the Mind. We want to hear from people that find the time to think and create these fine designs and then turn them into real product lines. So call us up now.
Good morning. Welcome to Behind the Mind Radio Show on WEAC Radio. We're powered by Ethical Electric, and it is Friday.
Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday. Again, we thank everyone for continuously tuning in to Behind the Mind Radio Show.
And our anniversary is coming.
Thank you, Anthony. Starting next Friday, we go into five seasons.
I cannot believe it.
I can't either.
It's been a ride.
It has been, and it's been a good ride. Yeah, we've had some really interesting guests, and actually our guest is coming on after the 11:10 break. I realized in, you know, talking to him and getting his questions ready that it was our very first season that he came on our show. So we haven't talked to him in four seasons. So we get a chance to, you know, see what's been going on in the tax and finance world. I'm pretty sure there's a whole lot. And, you know, we have a new president, which is Mr. Donald Trump. A lot of people who probably listen to our show have no comment. So again, he's now in Washington, D.C. in his first, what, 5 or 6 days now?
This is the first 7 days.
Okay, because he came in last Friday. Yeah, last Friday. So we have a new president of the United States, the 45th president, mm-hmm. who we never expected to be. Yeah. So we're trying to, some of us are trying to get ingested and some are very, very excited. But the numbers show less excitement and more frustration, but we're going to see what happens.
Press on.
And do something. That's right. Congratulations to the Women's March, too.
That was amazing.
Yeah, they did an excellent job. I don't think anyone expected that level. I don't even think they expected that level.
They did not expect that.
Yeah. Right, and I think the energy that was out there made it so that people adjusted really quickly to the massive increase in numbers. Yeah. So again, thank you for tuning in to Behind the Mind Radio Show. One of our first segments that we do is called The Idea of the Week.
Yes. So, with Super Bowl being a week away, not this Sunday, but the next Sunday,
right.
February 5th, Tostino's, which is a U.S. tortilla chip company, has made a bag that tells you if you're too drunk to drive home. You're tailgating.
Very interesting.
So it's an actual bag that your chips come in.
Okay.
So Tostino's is making a technological and strangely practical approach to combat drunk driving. The chip maker teamed up with Pepsi and an advertising agency called Goodby Silverstein and partners to produce a bag that can detect alcohol on a person's breath. So the way that it works is it's a black bag, a black chip bag.
Okay.
It has this wheel on the front.
Okay.
This cool grayish green.
Okay.
And it has a sensor on the top of the bag where you open up the bag and you blow onto the bag, basically, onto the sensor. And it turns red, and then it becomes a steering wheel that turns red.
Oh.
You cannot drive.
Okay. And this is going to be out. It's out now?
It's out now.
Okay.
Party safe Tostino bag.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
Are they running commercials? I don't remember seeing it. Yeah.
Scrolling through web pages and I saw it.
Okay, all right.
So it's called the Tostino's Party Safe Bag, and it's a limited edition chip bag. Like I said, with a sensor to a microcontroller calibrated to detect small traces of alcohol on a person's breath to let them know if they've had too many drinks
join the game.
And I see they have partners.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Which are good ones. Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Uber.
And Uber.
It only detect, and the thing is, it's not telling you the alcohol levels.
Okay.
It's just telling you if you have alcohol on your breath.
Okay.
Have a drink and not be drunk.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Just breathing onto the bag will let you know, hey, you got some alcohol on your breath.
Okay, got it. Okay.
In fact, if you are too tipsy to drive, you can, like you were just saying, Mothers Against Drunk Driving and Uber has partnered up to bring this initiative about. And if you are too drunk to drive, if you put in the code Tostinos in the UPC code on the Uber app, you get $10 off of your ride,
which is good. That's a good decrease. Yeah, good for them. That's a great social impact type of program. Okay, I think my All right, cool. I was like, we dropping out here. Okay, so let's go on to the Did You Know and see, because one of the things in the Did You Know, which is really cool, Anthony brought to the table 6 strategies for businesses, and so we want to run through those strategies real quick.
So there's six things that if you are thriving in your small business or you're just trying to start, there's 6 things that you might want to keep in mind this year, since it's the new year, that will help you grow your business. Because we know that marketing could be, you could have a big budget, you could have a small budget.
All right.
These things into consideration and say, okay, this is how I can attack this for my size of a business.
Correct.
So the first thing would be becoming more mobile centric. So that involves a lot of technologies and platforms that are still emerging, such as apps and mobile payment services that will allow your customers to have more access to you and you more access to their money.
Okay.
The second one is email marketing. A lot of people try not to do that because they're like, I don't want to overwhelm
emails. Yeah.
But it's good to remind them
correct
of your presence and who you are
correct
and the services that you provide.
So mm-hmm
not every day,
mm-hmm
then probably
mm-hmm
once a week, every other
yeah
week.
Yeah.
Say, hey, this is me, this is the services that I provide, and
mm-hmm
then I'll talk about that later.
Right.
The laws are very important, too.
Right.
You want to bring that up in your email as well.
Okay.
The third one is data-informed decision-making. So businesses should be pairing their data-borne insights with existing knowledge and opinions of their team members, which will then help their which will then help them make better decisions in their business.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one, which I think more and more businesses are starting to do right now, is video content.
Yeah.
When one considers 60% of consumers prefer to watch content instead of read it, it makes the power of video and visuals more apparent to them.
Mm-hmm.
So video content will continue to build momentum and build audiences as you progress into your business or within 2017. And then, like I was saying before, blogging, the fifth one is blogging. Not just like saying, this is what I did today, but actually bringing to the table digital writing to the next level. And that might be that you might hire someone to help you write a few things,
mm-hmm,
or you really sit down and focus on, okay, today I'm going to do nothing but write about the past month of my business and how
okay
I've grown,
all right,
how I really struggled. And from people seeing that, they become more empathetic with you.
Correct. So you're giving insights as well as taking a journey, I guess
exactly
you would say. Yeah.
Taking them on the journey with you, and they appreciate that wholeheartedly. And they're like, okay, I really want to support this person and help them grow.
Okay. All right.
And then the last one is, of course, better social media practices. So social media platforms are a significant contributor to big data and you grabbing insights from your customers. But once again, going back to the customer, your customer can practically tell you what they want
correct
out of your business.
Right.
So if you're a mom-and-pop shop doing juicing,
mm-hmm,
and they really, really like your juice, but it's out every Friday they go,
mm-hmm,
they're going to say that online.
Correct. Right.
So
absolutely.
You can change that.
Right.
By
right
supplying it that morning or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm
you could change up what's happening. If it's something bad, like I just said, or something really, really well,
right,
you can apply to other days of the week, other parts of your business, etc.
Yeah, social media is very important, and it the thing with it is, again, the practices, the social media practice, the word practice is important, because really at the end of the day, it's what information you're putting out.
What you're putting out there and what people are providing you.
Yeah, right. To get the feedback. Yeah, especially if you do have a product.
Yeah, if you have a product, like I just said, if you have a juice joint,
mm-hmm.
they love your carrot ginger juice mm-hmm. every Friday and it's out. They're going to let you know.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
Right. So, yeah. So, and that's how you would say, okay, I need to fix this.
Right.
The night before.
Yeah.
Make 10 gallons versus
yeah.
5.
Very true. Right. Yeah. So the good, bad, and ugly. But it is a place that people go right now.
Okay.
You know?
They love Twitter.
Yeah. Right. Yes, they sure do. Uh-huh. Yeah. I use it when people don't do what they're supposed to do, too.
Exactly.
So, okay. So those are good tips. So those were on Small Biz Trends.
Small Biz Trends.
Okay.
One of my good little sites I go to.
Okay. Okay. So smallbiztrends.com. You can see those 6 marketing strategies. So the last thing before we go to break, is January is National Mentoring Month. So this is really, extremely, extremely important. So some of the quick things about it is that it was inaugurated in 2002.
Yes.
So it's rolling up on 15 years, and it was endorsed by President George Bush. So National Mentoring Month is spearheaded by the Harvard School of Public Health and Corporation for National and Community Service. So you kind of see, I see this every now and then, like a PSA type of commercial running
right.
for National Mentoring Month. So it's actually coming to a close, but it doesn't change the fact that we still need mentors as well. So and I remember us talking about this before, because the I Love New York logo is Glasser is best known for. That's the person I guess who is part of the design for the Mentoring Month. So, and he was also founded the New York Magazine in 1968. So January is National Mentoring Month. So, again, you just don't mentor in January, please, people. If you're going to mentor somebody, do it. Yeah, and until they really get where they need to go.
Exactly.
That's the purpose of mentoring. So that is our Did You Know? So we're going to go to break, and when we return.
Well, before we go, I would love to say thank you for listening, Danita. She came on the last time. She just texted me saying, I'm listening, and thank you so much.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. We're looking for some more products, lady.
Yes, we are. We'll be hitting you up.
So we'll go to break. When we return, Xavier Epps of XNE Financial will be on the line. We'll be talking about finance and taxes. You're tuned into Behind the Mind Radio Show on We Act Radio.
I'm President and CEO of City First Bank of D.C. and Chairman of City First Foundation. You're listening to Behind the Mind Radio.
Chris, can you put the video game controller down for a second?
I can talk and play. Oh, I'm totally annihilating this punk kid in Nebraska.
I just feel like you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
Well, you know, you still ride your skateboard to work. There's the comic book collection, the race car bed.
Look, I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I picked up a few savings tips at feedthepig.org. I have control over my financial life now, and that feels pretty grown up.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. For free ideas and easy tips on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org. So, I bet I look like a grown-up to you now.
Well, except for the footy pajamas, I'd have to agree.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
APEAL is an acronym for Association of People for Pan-Africanist Economic Advancement Through Leverage. APEAL is creating a credit union, and this move is consistent with a broader movement to withdraw support from big corporate banks and move money into local financial institutions that provide a better opportunity for people and communities to control their financial and economic futures. I am Lasana K. Mack, founder and executive director of APEAL, and I'm the former treasurer of the District of Columbia. When I realized that multiple problems and weaknesses in our communities are linked to the lack of organized wealth, I knew I had to do something. So I decided to use my financial management expertise to create a vehicle to facilitate empowerment for my community, and Appeal is doing that with our financial literacy programs and a credit union. I appeal to you to become a member, donate, or learn more by going to appealinc.org, appealinc.org, or by calling 1-800-711-7851. It's about empowerment.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
You tuned in to Behind the Mind Radio Show. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Do you need to step up your skills for the changing job market? Are you or someone you know struggling with computer technology and graphic design for their business and personal needs? Call Community Tech at 202-377-9918 to join our free classes today. Our Tech for Success digital literacy and digital arts classes will step up your digital game and prepare you for next steps in your career and your business. Our classes are free to all DC residents of any age and any skill level. Sessions are for 8 weeks, and we provide transportation assistance as well as gift cards at the end of the program. Learn to create a resume, custom print screen t-shirts, and other items specific to your interests and goals. Digital literacy classes are held on Monday and Wednesday at 2101 MLK Avenue Southeast, and digital arts classes are held Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 7. Visit us online at communitytechnet.com or call us today at 202-377-9918 to get on the path to tech success.
We Act Radio, powered by Ethical Electric. Do something.
In case you didn't catch the name, it's Wanda Alexis Alexander, and my company is WAA LLC and also Horizon Consulting Incorporated, and you are tuned into Behind the Mind Radio Show on We Act Radio. Come back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Thank you for tuning in to Behind the Mind Radio Show on We Act Radio. We're powered by Ethical Electric. And like we said before we went to break, we have the pleasure of welcoming back Xavier Epps. He is the CEO, founder, financial expert of XNE Financial. Welcome back to the show,
welcome
Xavier.
Back.
Xavier?
Karen, can you hear me?
Yeah, we
yes,
can hear you.
We can hear you.
Oh, hey, Karen. Hey, Ashley. How you doing?
Good. How are good, you? Good. How are you? It's not like you got a window open or something.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to a meeting.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, because it sounded like a bunch of wind going on.
let me try to fix that. Hold on. Let me try to fix that.
Okay. Let's all right. See. No problem.
We can make that better.
Sounds better.
Is this any better?
Oh, yeah, perfect. Okay, good. Thank you. I appreciate it. So let's dive straight into the question. So let's talk about budgeting. So let me do full disclosure because Xavier is my financial advisor, and he has been for quite some time, and I love him to death. He has put me on the right track for numerous years. So let's talk about budgeting because I know he is very big on this and making sure that people are budgeting. So do you find that consumers are becoming more educated about budgeting, Xavier?
Definitely. That's a great question, and I definitely think consumers are becoming more savvy and understanding of budgeting because there's so much information out there in the marketplace for people to just be kind of do-it-yourselfers when it comes to budgeting. And then those that aren't really do-it-yourselfers, they're becoming more informative by researching information and reaching out to professionals that can assist them. So they're finding more and more sources. So definitely, I think consumers are becoming more savvy and acknowledging the fact that budgeting is a skill set that anyone can learn. It just takes time to learn it.
Is that what it is? A lot of people, I think, don't have the patience to learn it. Is that true?
You there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
Okay. I was saying that are you finding that most people just don't want to take the time to learn the budget or they don't want the restrictions of budgeting?
I think a lot of people are hesitant on knowing. I think people are hesitant on seeing the truth. Like they have an issue with, it's like they know anecdotally what the issue is financially in a household, but when they put it on budget and when they put it on paper, it just makes it so much worse. It's like,
they just don't want to
like knowing what your balance of your checking account is.
Right.
And avoiding your checking account on purpose not to see the balance.
Yeah.
So when it comes to budgeting, it's the same thing. It's knowing what needs to be done, but you don't want to see it on paper because it'll just make you feel some type of way.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense.
So going from budgeting, what are some of the most important tax changes that people should know in 2016 when they are ready to file?
Oh, yes, it's tax season. Oh, Lord. Okay. So one of the biggest updates for the tax season for 2016 is that those that claim the earned income tax credit and those that claim the child tax credit or the additional tax credit, basically, if you have a child and you're used to getting a refund of, you know, a couple thousand dollars because of your kids, because you meet these qualifications, you're not going to get your refund as soon as you think you would typically get it in the prior year because there's a new law that mandates the IRS to hold onto your tax refund if you're claiming those credits until up to the 27th of February.
Wow.
Now, there's been updates from the IRS website and other people in the community that says on the 15th, they may start releasing some returns, but more general, it's going to be up to the 27th when they'll really start releasing tax returns or refunds that have the earned income credit or the child tax credit. And I estimated that it's going to affect about 21 million taxpayers.
Wow.
So this is a huge update for 2016. For those that are used to filing their taxes to have kids and getting their refund within 7 to 10 business days, direct deposit, or just getting their refund at a more rapid pace than they normally would, this is a huge update, and that's a big change. And the other one is the Affordable Care Act. The guidelines on that has gotten tighter. Every year they're charging more for those individuals that don't have kids under health insurance. So now they've gotten up to $695 per person that doesn't have health care. So if you are caught not having health care for your family, then you'll get penalized $695 per person. And it's either that or you get penalized by a percentage of your income. If you make too much and you still don't have have health insurance for the dependents or yourself, you'll be penalized. And this is the third year that they'll be this is the max. This is what 2018 will be the maximum, but this is going into the third year that they're going to be charging people but they'll be finding people that don't have insurance. So that's another big update. I would say, thirdly, for people that live in the state of Maryland, never before have you been allowed to deduct student loan interest, and now you're able to deduct your student loan interest if you're a resident of the state of Maryland. You can always do it up to $2,500 on the federal side, but now you can also take the same deduction on the state side, and that's huge because deductions lower your taxable income.
Those are big changes.
Yes, that is. Three very big changes.
Yeah.
Wow. So since we're on the topic of taxes, what are some of the key things that people should understand on the workings of taxation within the U.S.?
The biggest thing the biggest thing taxpayers should understand is that we have a progressive tax system. So what that basically means. The more money you make, the more taxes you'll pay. The less money you make, the less taxes you will pay. And that is as simple as it can be, because a lot of people are either under the impression that they're entitled to refunds, or they're under the impression that, you know, they shouldn't have to pay any taxes because, you know, a cousin said they shouldn't pay it because of their situation is unique and different when it comes to taxes. Even two people with the same income will have a very, very different tax outcome.
Hmm.
And it's because of the lifestyle, the deductions, the how much one contributes to an IRA, or how much one has come out pre-tax for 401k deduction on TSPs. So all these different things, pre-tax items such as medical and dental and vision, you have all these different items that can contribute to what your tax liability or your tax refund will be. So when people tell friends or family, oh, go ahead and claim a couple exemptions, and they don't have any clue about that person's tax situation, they're only looking at their income, then that can literally mess up a lot of people's financial situation, because they don't understand the tax implications. And all they know is, you know, I get a refund sometimes, or I have a liability. But the easiest way to explain the tax system to people is to let them know that it's a progressive system. The more money you make, more taxes. Less money you make, less taxes. So if you made less money the year before, this year than compared to the year before, then you should expect to pay less in taxes. And that's just, you know, if you made more money and you know you made more money, you can't expect the situation of your refund or your liability to be the same as it was prior years, because you're making more money. And as you make more money, you pay more taxes.
And I appreciate the point about people expecting that they're, like, you know,
entitled.
Entitled, yeah, to a refund.
That's the key word right there. Entitled.
It is entitled to a refund, because it doesn't all, and it fluctuates. I can't tell you when my refund, some the long time I didn't even get one.
Right.
I didn't even expect it, you know. So it's interesting that people feel entitled to receive one.
No, I mean, you'll be amazed, the conversations. I mean, we've, exiting financial advising, we've processed, you know, over 900 tax returns. And I've processed by myself a little over 25 million of taxable income since 2012. So the amount of stories I hear about, oh, well, so-and-so got me this, or so-and-so got me that, or my cousin said to do this, or I got six kids, so I should get 7,000 or 1,000 each kid. It's like, you know, when you're not informed about the tax code, it makes it just that much harder to explain to you why situations aren't what they are. And I'm not saying that you're supposed to take the tax professional's advice or what they say at heart and say, okay, if they said it, it must be true. But at the very least, open your ears and listen to why your situation is changing, so that you know next year at the same time what to be expecting and what not to be expecting. It's all about expectations. And people just have the expectations that they should get a refund.
Yeah, absolutely. So piggybacking off of the budget too, you know, what are some of the biggest issues clients have with finances? And probably, Xavier, take a little time to understand, give just a, if you can, in layman terms, what finance is, because people get confused between that too, like accounting versus finance and how that couples in. You have to kind of learn that the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, going back to budgeting and finance and accounting. So like one of the biggest things that I see consumers have when it comes to budgeting is that being realistic about the budget. They create these unrealistic budgets, and they have the good, I mean, everyone has good intentions. When you start to put together a financial plan, what you're going to do with your debt, your taxes, your saving goals, you have all these great intentions, but they're unrealistic because you're not accounting for every single item that hits your account. And I say the number one thing with financing and budgeting is being real. Be real with yourself. Pull your most recent statements, the last 2 months of statements. Go line by line. See what you're spending every single penny, not dollar, penny on, so that you can create a budget that reflects the total amount of spending that happens within your household and the items in the different categories that you spend it in. So by doing that, you can create a more realistic budget that depicts what you do on an everyday basis. And when you get to the science of your lifestyle in terms of finances and budgeting, it makes it that much easier or realistic to create a projection or create a financial plan for yourself. So it really, the biggest thing
the biggest issue when it comes to creating a budget is not being real. So you have to find ways to be real with yourself. And being real is looking at the data, looking at the information, looking at the spend. That's one big piece. The other big piece is assuming too much in a budget. A lot of us assume we're going to make more money. A lot of us assume revenue is going to get to X, or we assume we're going to get a bonus, or we assume we're going to get a raise. Start with the assumptions when it comes to budgeting. A budget should be based on what you currently make and what you currently expect to pay out. And that is it. Everything else is just milking it. So if you get a bonus, you just milked it in the budget. If you get a raise, you're going to be able to save more in a budget. But don't expect or don't project things that aren't, you know, final yet. And lastly, when it comes to the difference between accounting and financing, accounting is going to be for your self-employed, your entrepreneurs, those individuals that have to deal with some type of endeavor that they have taken. Finance is more personal, is more financially the dollars and cents of expenses and income. But accounting is more business, more of a business terminology to be used.
Okay. So going from budget, because a lot of people might be budgeting for home ownership, what are ways to position yourself for home ownership? Or five ways, shall I say. What are five ways that a person can go about doing that?
I'm sorry, I got the tail. I didn't get the tail. You said, what are five ways?
What are five ways to position yourself for home ownership?
Oh, that's a great question, Anthony. So five ways to position yourself. Oh, I would just give them the top ways because there's so many different things. But I would just give them the top ways. The number one way is your credit. You have to position your credit before your income. You hear the old saying, the cash is king. But you end up using a whole lot more cash if you got jacked up credit. Mm. Let's be honest. So you want to make sure that your credit is right in order to position yourself to buy that home. So if you have a lot of money stockpiled away, or you have a considerable amount of cash stockpiled away, you may want to start looking at using that in an efficient way that you can get your credit score to be higher. So number one, credit score must be strong based on the programs that are out there for you or available to you to purchase a home. Once your credit score is where it needs to be at, that is literally the hard part. Once you get that part done, then you can go back to focus on number two, which is having cash, building a reserve, having money set aside for the down payment, understanding the program that you need to be in for, or what programs you qualify for, which will dictate how much money you need to save between now and the time that you want to actually purchase the home. So that's number two. Number three is getting on a budget. So a lot of people are scared of the B word. They don't like to hear the B word, but if you want to be a homeowner, you need to be budgeting for everything. So you need to be able to understand what a budget is, how to budget, and how to make sure that you have something in your budget for the what if that comes with home ownership. It's not like living in an apartment. It's not like sharing a room. It is much different. You're held accountable for literally everything that goes wrong in that home. So you want to budget for the what if when it comes to your home. Number four, I would say it will be taxation. Again, we come full circle. Taxes, we can't escape taxes, right? You can't escape taxes or death. So it always comes full circle. When it comes down to taxes and home ownership, understand what your real estate taxes are, because that is going to be a huge deduction for yourself when it comes to filing taxes. So understanding what the real estate taxes are, and if you live in a locality or area that has local taxes as well as state taxes, that plays a big role in what your tax liability or tax refund will be. So being able to know is the best thing possible when it comes to home ownership. And number five will be having a contingency plan for the home that you want but you may not get. A lot of first-time home buyers or individuals that are looking to buy a home, they kind of mimic what their lifestyle will be if they live in a certain area. And they mimic it all the way down to, you know, the drive from the home to the kid's school, from the kid's school to the job and back. But you spend, you know, if you spend so much time thinking about that one home and you don't get it, you got to go back to, you know, back to start point A, and you're like, okay, so what am I doing here? So you got to be very flexible within your planning to buy a home, and not to just put all your eggs in one basket of the local area that you're trying to see, because it may not fall through the way that you want financially. It got to make sense financially before you pull the trigger.
Yeah, that's a key to making sense financially before you do, you know, and moving forward.
And then you were also, to your step two, was talking about programs that are available. Can you expand a little bit on that? Because a homeowner or
I'm sorry,
person,
I didn't get that.
A person who's looking for specific programs, how would they go to find those programs? Would they go to the bank? Would they go to a real estate agent?
Right.
How would they go to find those programs that are available to them in their budget?
The banker, the broker, the real estate agent, not necessarily real estate agent, but the banker or broker, the person that you're working with to help you get the loan, get the documentation together. That's the broker. That's the banker. They're going to be the ones that tell you about all the different programs that you will qualify for, that one can qualify for, as well as programs that they very seldomly will they tell you about a program they don't offer, because they don't want you to go somewhere else to get it. But based on the information they give you, you can be an informed consumer and look up other programs based on the information they're giving you. So when you go to Google and you type in first time home buyer programs, you may see the one or two that the broker or the banker was telling you about, but then you were going to see a whole bunch of them that they weren't telling you about. And at that point, that's when you become an informed consumer and you ask the banker, hey, or the broker, what about this or what about that? Or do I qualify for this? And it's their job to say yes or no. So don't ever think that you have to figure out on your own if you qualify for these programs. It's their job. It's what they're kind of, it's the overall experience that they're getting paid for at the end of the day. And, you know, you just kind of help guide them when you feel like there's possibly more options. But you have to be active in the process yourself. You can't just leave it all the way up to the banker or the broker or the real estate agent to tell you what works best for you.
Okay.
So, Xavier, we have a question that's coming to you across Twitter from Zen in a Jar, which is Danita Brooks. The question is there a book or service in the vein of business accounting for dummies so she can better understand the financial side for her business? What would be your suggestion so she can educate herself?
I think in terms of a service, Exony Financial Advising Office of Service. plug. But it's a bookkeeping service that we do offer, and it's for small businesses. And we literally, I mean, she can visit our website, which is www.xnefinance.com, and she can click on the clients tab, and she can read about stories from other small businesses and entrepreneurs that have used our service that basically walk them through the revenue, the income, the sales taxes, and the different expenses of their business. And then we create plans based on what the businesses is doing to project out what they could do in the future, in the near future, and how that impacts them personally for taxes. So we look at the very core of the business in terms of accounting and making sure that they're doing everything they need to do to be tax compliant. So definitely, if she wants to connect, we would love to assist her. In terms of books, it's, you know, you can look up self-entrepreneur accounting. I mean, I'm pretty sure, I mean, I don't know any books per se because we provide it as a service. We literally walk clients through their financials every single month, and we do it rather inexpensively.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
I can vouch for that.
So before we go to break, talk quickly about this, is because this is a topic you wanted to discuss as well, as about the measure a person can take when splitting finances in a relationship.
That is very important.
Which can close a relationship,
okay,
too.
Okay, that is very important.
Okay.
So talk about the measures a person can take.
I'm trying to be very fair in this answer, in this response.
I can hear you thinking. You're like, okay, how should I approach this?
Just be real.
I can answer this question when I'm not on the radio. But okay, so honestly, the best way to split finances within a household between two partners is to do it proportionately, right? So proportionately means total income. So let's say between the woman and the man, they bring in $100,000.
Okay.
And the woman makes, let's, Let's see, this is where it gets sick. All right, so guys, I can take the flack from the guys. Let's say the guy makes 30 and the woman makes 70. See? And I'm a guy, so I can say that. That sounds perfect. So the guy makes 30 and the woman makes 70. So that would mean, at all of the expenses, the woman should be covering 70% because she makes up 70% of the total household income.
Okay.
And on the flip side, the man, the husband, the boyfriend, the fiance, should cover 30% because he makes up 30% of the total household income. That is probably the most fairest way to distribute expenses between two parties in a household.
Okay. So within that 100,000, you're basically breaking it down in 10%. Right?
I'm sorry. You said what happened?
Within that $100,000, you're breaking it into 100%. You're saying, okay, 70% is the wife, the fiance, the girlfriend, because she's bringing in that $70,000, and then the boyfriend, the husband, the fiance is bringing in the 30. He has that 30%.
You got it. Exactly. Right. So, you know, take that pie and out of the total, you know, this is just total income, but you're trying to figure out how much of expenses should I cover and how much of the expenses should you cover. And the way to do is to take that pie and say, well, you make up 70% of the income in the house. I make up 30. So, boom, that's how we'll do it. And that's fairness.
That will get reevaluated
every year, because every year there should be some type of growth within the incomes of the household. So you will reevaluate that percentage every year to be fair to each other. Because what happens in the case that the woman loses a job? Well, you need to reevaluate it, right? Mm-hmm. So in reevaluating that, then it makes it perfect. It makes it perfect. So that's how you want to handle that on an ongoing basis.
So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll continue our questions. We're going to get into talking about business capital. I know Xavier's background from working on Wall Street. So you're tuned into Behind the Mind Radio Show. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Listening to Behind the Mind Radio Show, and I'll talk to you soon.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Boss, there's only so much oil in the ground.
It's Roland Martin of TV One, the Tom Jones Morning Show, and you're listening to WEAC Radio. Do something.
I'm Don Folden with Capital Buddy Tours. Have you ever wondered why we have no African-American tours in D.C.? Well, finally, we have two premier African-American tours, the D.C. Underground Railroad Tour and the D.C. Black History Night Tour. Come and let us show you historical events in D.C., where slaves were either housed or sold in the shadows of the Capitol. You'll see places where the Pearl Affair happened, and we're proud to say we're the only tour in D.C. that visits a cemetery where slaves actually hid on their way north to the Underground Railroad. Go to Viator.com and book yours today. That's Viator.com and book yours today. The D.C. Underground Railroad Tour and the D.C. Black History Night Tour.
We Act Radio, powered by Ethical Electric. Do something.
Well, terrific. This is Jane Angelich of National 4-H Council, and you are tuned into the Behind the Mind radio show on WEAC Radio, 1480 AM.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back, everyone. We're tuned in to Behind the Mind Radio Show on We Act Radio. We continue our conversation with Xavier Epps. He's a financial expert and CEO of XNE Financial. So let's dive into talking some about business and finance. What are the main reasons a small business should seek finance, or when should they seek finance? Because sometimes you're not ready.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to small businesses and their finances, they should be immediately tracking their expenses and knowing the inflows and outflows of the business's operations, because it's crucial. I mean, you can't tell what type of profits you're making month to month without understanding what you're spending money on and how you're generating revenue. For a lot of businesses, you need to know how much does it cost to generate a dollar? Mm-hmm. How much does it cost to generate a buck? And if you don't know the answer to that for your business, then you're doing your business wrong, and you will probably eventually fail because you don't even know the secret to your own sauce. Like, you don't know why you're making money, you're just making money. Or you're doing something, you're providing a service, you're providing a product, but you don't know fundamentally how much it takes to get that money. So you will never be able to sit down and say, okay, if I put X amount of more dollars or capital into my business, I should generate Y. You don't know that without having the finances or being astute about the accounting of it very early on. I mean, it should be a part of the business planning process when you're doing your finances for the business to be seeking that information out.
Okay. So that's why it's so important. So let's go into when is the best time for a business to forecast their upcoming financial goals?
Forecasts for the business should be annual, revised annual, and then it should be revised quarterly as you're actually going through the rigorous months of doing business. So if you see that your projections are far off on a quarterly basis as you're actually closing the books every month, then you should be revising your goals. You should be revising, not your goals, but revising your annual projection and include in that revision the actual months that have already gone by to see how off you are or how close you are to the new projection. But you should be looking at them, I don't say monthly basis, because, you know, you're the business, you're the business. Without you, there's no business.
Right.
So I don't like people that get tied down too much with the finances and accounting and the projection and the analysis of their business, because they should be busy making money. Mm-hmm. Because they're the owner, they're the one, they're the leader, they're the flagship of their company. So at the end of the day, the best way for them to continue to do that is to review their projections on a quarterly basis so that they can say to themselves, okay, we missed quarter number one by X amount, or we surpassed our goal by X amount. I'm not going to change my projections because we're doing really good. But, you know, to be doing it every single month, that's a bit tedious for a business owner. And at the end, it depends on how much of the work do they want to handle. I know a lot of clients that come to us as small business owners, they came to us because they didn't want to handle all of that month-to-month checking and reconciling the books and making sure that they're paying their taxes, or making sure that the business is making a profit, or they think they're paying themselves the right way, but then they come to find out that they're not. So a lot of clients come to us because they just want to relieve themselves of that financial responsibility.
So they could focus on, like you said, making that money.
And helping the business to grow. They can focus on helping the business to grow.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I agree.
So going from you checking the business quarterly, is it possible for a company to show positive cash flows but be in grave trouble?
Yeah, it is very possible to show positive cash flows and be in grave trouble, because if you're like, let's say you're straight out, you're out the gate of your business,
okay,
and you're doing really good, you're making money, and you're seeing every month that the cash, that you're not ending in a negative. You're actually increasing every month in terms of the ending balance in your checking account for your business. So that means that you're creating positive cash flows. But you can be in grave danger if, let's say, your business is seasonal or has some type of seasonality to it, and you don't know that that's about to happen, or you don't know that with this government shutdown or this change of tax law, or that because we have inaugurations or we have these big conventions, that means something bad for your business. And because you didn't know, all that positive cash flow was fine, but you spent that months ago And now you're in these crucial months that you could use that positive cash flow that you currently don't have because your business is ailing and not being able to survive under these new constraints or these new issues that are going around and affecting all businesses. So even that positive cash flow is still be in grave danger if you don't plan and budget and be able to weather the storm. Let's say they have tax hikes and you provide a product that typically didn't have to be taxed. And now based on these new law changes, you have to be taxed. And at the end of the year, you didn't even know that you're supposed to be saving for those sales taxes. And then you get a whopping bill of whatever X amount that wipes out all that positive cash flow. So positive cash flow doesn't dictate, can't be in grave danger because you could very well still be.
Hmm. And that goes back into that budgeting aspect and forecasting.
Yeah, being able to do both. So, you know, again, you talk about the administration. We have a change of guard. And, you know, have you seen, has it come across, is it trending, is it showing up that how capital is going to look for small businesses? Is it going to
disseminate? Increase?
Is it going to be harder for small businesses to get capital?
Stay alive, right.
I honestly have not heard any initiatives by the new administration to support small businesses, which could be a good thing because you may not want to hear this administration say anything about any sector that you're in.
Very true.
Because it could either be good or they could talk and it could be bad. So me not hearing is kind of probably the most
positive thing
I would say out of this administration right now. You just don't want to worry about that scrutiny, that eyeball in the sky from Big Brother to be on a segment or a business that you do every day to make a living. So all I can say is that with any administration, doesn't matter what administration, you plan accordingly for success. Like, what's going to make your business thrive? What's going to make you thrive no matter who's at the helm? You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, what things or what initiatives are you placing for you to be successful, to meet those goals on a quarterly basis for your business? That's all that matters to me. That's all we talk about with our clients. And they say, hey, well, you know, I'm trying to pay out myself XYZ. Okay, this is what we need to do. This is how many new clients you need, or these are the new goals you need to reach. Or if it's kind of status quo, that's just making sure that everything is handled and accounted for because I'm not trying to get slapped with any big tax bill. That's what we're doing. So it's really about doing what you can control. And as long as you do that, it doesn't matter what the administration does, you should be fine.
Okay. All right. So it's like, don't let the climate and environment affect what you're doing. So if you're focused. Okay. So let's
focus. You got to stay focused.
Right. You got to stay focused. And then there'll be no disruption. So either way. So let's go to our behind the mind questions. Right. And then we'll come back to a last question that is coming across Twitter for you. So if you could be a superhero, what power would you possess, Xavier?
If I could be a superhero, I would want to possess the power to self-identify.
And
assist.
You gotta explain that one.
That is in need of financial assistance. And that's easier said than done. And because I say that because you see homeless people, you see veterans, you see, you know, these are people that serve our country, you see children that have new sneakers but really bum looking clothes. So you see all these evidence that will say to me that, hey, you know, okay, I self identify that person needs financial help or that person needs some type of financial guidance. But that's the obvious. The power that I wish I had was with the people that you don't expect it or they don't show it until it's too late.
Right.
I want to be able to, if I had the power to walk in a coffee shop and see someone there diligently working or laughing on their phone, but behind the scenes, their whole world financially was coming apart. Wow. And they was getting ready to file bankruptcy. Or their kids were getting ready to be taken from them because they can't find stable income. You know, having that type of power to self-identify and stop that person, like, let me help you before it gets to a point that you can't be helped. You know, so it's like having that type of superpower, because I love finances and I have a passion for really helping people with their finances, their debt, their credit, their taxes, budgeting. I really have a passion for that and be able to, you know, see a person, even if they had this mask or this facade, that everything is okay when it's really not. If I could see through that, That would be a wonderful power to have.
That is a wonderful power to have.
I never would have thought of that.
I wouldn't have either.
Wow, that's a good one. That's the first one for Behind the Mind Radio
Show.
That's
really
a good
interesting.
One.
Very interesting.
So if you could have lunch with anyone living or dead, who would it be?
You know, I thought about this question, and I'm still thinking about this question about you. But how the heck did you know about stocks at the age of 10 and 11? Like, really, what was going on in your household?
Right.
That you said, I want to learn about the ticker.
Right.
I want to read the paper. I want to learn about the ticker and see the, like, well, how did you, at such a young age, I mean, at such a young age, it's just mind-boggling, and I would love one day sit down with them and have a conversation with them about that.
Very interesting. Mm. Yeah, that is a good question.
So as a child, what was your favorite toy?
I had two.
Two.
One was Monopoly, which is why
makes
I
sense.
Am who I am today.
Right.
Makes sense.
And number two was Nintendo.
Nintendo.
I used to love Nintendo. I used to love Nintendo. I used to have a very competitive spirit. I still have a very competitive spirit. But I mean, my favorite pastime was Monopoly and doing it in a family setting and being with my sisters and being with my brothers and doing it as a, you know, just doing something that brings us together and something that I was really good at. That I felt like I had a knack for, and doing it amongst the people that you love the most. It was Monopoly for me.
Wow. So what's the motto or affirmation you live by, Xavier?
So every year I have a new motto, and this year is generational wealth starts with you.
Mm.
So that's what I'm trying to encourage my clients, my new clients, my existing clients. We have over 420 clients since 2011, 2012. And every time I talk to them, every time they text me, you know, I want to leave a conversation like, you know, generational wealth starts with you. So, you know, about what you didn't get from your mom, your dad, your grandpa, just think about what you're going to do for your legacy, for your kids, and understand that generational wealth starts with you. So that's kind of my motto for 2017. That's what I'll be preaching. That's what I'll be posting, tweeting, you know, Snapchatting, you name it.
Good one. Right. I mean, it is generational because it creates a lot with potential investors for a business. Because you talked about really just being ready, mm-hmm. you know, for that and understanding your numbers. Is that really what you need to be come to the table with, is really just knowing your business on that level?
It's two things. Knowing the finances of your business in and out, because when investors ask questions, I mean, me as an investor, you know, investor of, you know, small businesses in the past, if you don't know your numbers, if I feel like you're not being transparent or you don't really know something and you're trying to, you know, skip around it, or you're kind of giving me this answer or this question that's not jiving, then I would immediately dismiss the whole idea, even if it's a great idea, because I want you to take this serious as I'm going to take you serious with my own capital. So, you know, knowing the numbers is crucial, but believing in your product or your service, what makes you different, what makes it different in the marketplace is crucial as knowing the numbers. They go hand in hand. So you can know the numbers, but if you don't really believe in your product and service, I don't think real investors, not, you know, grants or contracts or, you know, little organizations, but we're talking about people investing their money and time, they're not going to believe you. You have to be able to sell them from a perspective of believing in your product, making sure that that service or product is different from the marketplace, or improving on that product that makes it different in the marketplace, and the numbers, they go hand in hand.
Good advice.
Right.
Good advice.
That's very
so give your website, Xavier, before we have
contact
to close the show.
Okay. The website is www.x as an x-ray, n as in Nancy, e as an elephant, finance.com. You know, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram under XME Financial. People can just Google XME Financial Advising. They can Google Xavier Epps, and a whole bunch of junk and finance and, you know, monetary information will pop up there about us.
So, and before we close the show, we want to thank Zen and Ajar for their questions. And
thank
we also
so
want to thank Extra Credit FS for all of their tweets and enjoying the conversation. They've been tweeting out a lot of what you've been saying throughout the show, Xavier. So I appreciate them doing that as well. So thank you as
thank
always.
Thank you so much,
you
everybody.
Know. Yeah, absolutely. So Xavier, we're going to have you close the show.
Okay. This is Xavier Epps of Exiting Financial Advising, and you are tuned into the Behind the Mind radio show on We Act Radio.
Perfect.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Xavier.
Thank you so
you
much,
know, we'll
Xavier.
Be talking soon.
Thank you.
Have
All
a
right.
good one.
Bye-bye.
Radio.
All
right, bye-bye.
Behind the Mind, we want to hear from people that find the time to think and create these fine designs and then turn them into real product lines. So call us up, Behind the Mind. We want to hear from people that find the time to think and create these fine designs and then turn them into real product lines. So call us up now.
Where else will you get the most current information on game changers,
design thinkers, and well-known innovators?
In-depth interviews from visionaries, trendsetters, from science to food to entertainment.
On the Behind the Mind radio show.
We Act Radio, 1480 AM, 11 AM to 12 PM, every Friday. Join me, your host, Karen Baker.
And me, Anthony Leonard.
We'll talk about design, innovation, and culture.
Think about design.
Asthma problems may only get worse if the Trump administration...